listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo. A lot of great things lined up today. We are going to learn about some upcoming short-term opportunities, some short-term missions or Mercy medical teams. Find out about those from our friend in the Office of International Mission. And we'll also take a look at one of the articles from the December issue of the Lutheran Witness. And we'll talk with our friends here at Worldwide KFUO about, partnering with Worldwide KFUO and those end-of-year giving opportunities. Joining me in studio today, Tracy Quatham. She's manager of short-term mission teams here at the LCMS International Center, working in the Office of International Mission. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
And in a new capacity, a new desk.
A new desk, same capacity.
Oh, that's true. You were in.
Right. It's been confusing for a while. Even though Mercy Medical Teams serve internationally, we were in the Office of National Mission, and we recently made a move down into the Office of International Mission.
And now you get to wear just one hat instead of 12.
Right.
Well, very glad to have you now on the third floor, too, right next to KFUO, and always working on these short-term missions. Tell me a little bit about, for those not familiar with these short-term missions, particularly the Mercy Medical Teams is what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
For those not familiar, which I don't know how they could not be familiar, but what is a Mercy Medical Team and where do they go?
Mercy Medical Teams began in 2006, and we send teams internationally to provide clinical care, clinical health care, community health education, and occasionally disaster response.
And so it's made up of a team, a small team of people, some coming from medical professions, but lay people as well, usually a pastor, chaplain.
Right. Doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, but also lay people, pharmacists as well, and then a LCMS pastor to serve as team chaplain.
And then people like you and me who don't have healthcare background or anything. Well, maybe you do. I don't know, secretly.
No, I don't, but absolutely welcome on and necessary to do the non-medical things that we need to do on our trips to free up those medical professionals to see patients.
And you've been on a number of
trips now. I have been on a number. Always a wonderful experience. Great way to see how Mercy Works opens that door to sharing the gospel, to share the gospel of Jesus through physical healing and spiritual healing as well.
What are the responses of some of the people that, some of the volunteers who have stepped up and gone on these trips? What have they shared with you post-trip?
Well, it sounds trite and overused, but almost without fail, people say the trip was life-changing, and it really is. I think that the team ends up being served more than serving.
They learn so much, I'm sure.
Right.
You learn a lot when you're on this trip, not only about the people you're serving, the culture, and I would gather just seeing, as you pointed out, how mercy works, how God works through unusual means, through people,
right,
to show mercy.
Right. Like I said, it just opens the door for the gospel and provides that opportunity that we don't often get here in the United States to see the global body of Christ at work.
Some of the places that that Mercy Medical Teams have gone in the past?
We do a lot of work in East Africa, Tanzania, Kenya, Madagascar, Uganda. May have a few openings in a new location later in 2017. Be watching our website. That's where the current locations always are listed.
So parts of Africa, where are we thinking, where are we planning for right now? I know there may be potential opportunities in the future. Where are we planning right now, and what are the opportunities? Where are their openings?
Our next trip will be in March to Madagascar, and it's not too late to get on that team. There are still openings, but if you're interested, call me soon.
Act soon.
And beyond that, then in the summer, we'll be in Uganda, Tanzania, and Kenya.
Might be a nice Christmas present.
Right.
Do some planning for this. Maybe a couple or an individual, some folks from the same congregation.
Right.
Just a few spots left on that.
There are. We had on a trip to Madagascar last year, a couple chose to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
By going on an MMT, and we did have a little celebration while they were there. So lots of opportunities to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ.
What has been, for you, the most unusual learning experience when you go on one of these? I know you've gone on a handful of them, several of them, and I'm sure that you've seen so much. What was an unusual experience or unusual learning experience for you?
It's always interesting and a lot of fun just to talk to people and learn about the cultures, the differences that we have. But then, like I said, to see the similarities, mm-hmm. to go to a worship service in another country and they're singing the same hymn, using the same liturgy, not in English, but still the same mm-hmm. as we are.
So in many of these places, there may be a language difference.
There is.
I imagine there are very few that you go to where we all speak English.
We bring translators uh-huh. To make sure that diagnoses and symptoms and everything are communicated effectively. And so we become very close to our translators.
I can see how that would be very important in that setting.
Right.
Well, yes, translators would be very helpful and traveling to various parts of Africa. Now, you hinted that there might be a new place in the coming year. Any more hints on that, or do we have to wait?
Be watching and see. We're working on some opportunities in West Africa where their need is very great, and hopefully we'll have those up and set soon.
What are, as Mercy Medical Team, what are some of the health issues that we face in ways that we serve, these teams serve?
Well, each country is a little different, mm-hmm. But we see a lot of malaria, a lot of diseases that we don't see in the United States. We've seen children with measles and mumps and things that just don't really exist very much here anymore. But also a lot of things where we take for granted, if you have an ear infection or a strep throat, you go to the doctor, you get medication, and you're well. Sometimes we'll see children who have had infected ears for months or even years.
And some of these things are quite curable with right. simple antibiotics.
Right.
Wow. Now, and there you mentioned, I think you mentioned health education
right.
as well. What does that entail?
Well, that I think is just as important, if not more so. I would think many of the diseases that we treat, if people were properly educated, they would be prevented. Things such as making sure you have clean water or proper hand washing or dental care is another thing that we teach quite often.
How to brush teeth.
Mm-hmm. In Madagascar last year, we had a group of maybe 200 children sitting in front of us, and we asked how many of you own a toothbrush, and maybe 5 or 6 did. So even something as simple as being able to hand a toothbrush and a toothpaste to someone mm-hmm. and show them how to use it can make a huge impact on their health.
I have a 3-year-old, so I know what it's like teaching someone how to brush teeth.
Right. And we usually direct our teaching at the children, mm-hmm. but of course their parents are with them.
Sure.
And so we can see their moms and dads in the back nodding. A lot of the information we have is new for them as well. So.
Wow. Well, how does one prepare for such a team? How does one get information? How do we find out about the upcoming trips and maybe get involved in one?
Go to our website, which is lcms.org/mercyteams. The upcoming trips are listed there. There's a link to an application and also a link if you have more questions that we can help.
So contact information, lcms.org/mercyteams.
Mercy Teams.
And you can find the application information about the upcoming trips. Fill out that application, and it comes in through the system to you?
It comes straight to me, and I'll give you a call and answer all your questions, and we can begin the process.
So if I fill out an application, I put on there, "Hi, Tracy."
Right. I'll call you back and say hi.
Well, very good. And you said the next trip is coming up in March.
In March.
There are some spots available, but now's the time to act if you want to do that.
Act now, because it does take a bit of preparation to mm-hmm. be on a team, but we could still get you on the team for
sure.
March.
You want to make sure that you've got all your documentation in place, passports and things like that, as
right.
well as immunizations.
Immunizations, visas, and lots of things to think about.
Very good. Tracy, thank you so much for sharing with us about this upcoming trip, the upcoming Mercy Medical Teams that are coming in 2017. Tracy Quatham, Manager for Short-Term Mission Teams, thanks for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Kirk Neugebauer, pastor at Messiah Lutheran Church in Sterling, Illinois, and author of Does Hollywood Get Angels Right? An article in the Lutheran Witness this month. Pastor Neugebauer, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a great opportunity to share with us, to share with our listeners a little bit about your new call as a new pastor. This is your first call and new in the office of holy ministry. Tell us about your service at Messiah Lutheran Church in Sterling, Illinois.
Sure. Well, as you said, this is fresh out of the gate, first call to Sterling, Illinois, and it's a wonderful church family. Messiah has welcomed us with open arms, and we've had a lot of new beginnings with entering into pastoral ministry. And of course, my wife and I had our first son, started a family, and we're just kind of learning and growing together as a congregation, and certainly as a pastor. And there's a lot of wonderful things going on with our congregation. They certainly love the Lord and love to grow in their faith, and I'm just doing the best I can to take everything I've learned from the seminary and share it in a faithful way to them.
Now, where would we find Sterling, Illinois, for those of us not familiar with Illinois geography?
Sure. Well, to be honest, I had to look it up too when I heard where our call was. But we are about an hour and 40 minutes west of Chicago, and about an hour east of the border of Iowa. So Northern Illinois District, kind of upwards in the state, and we're kind of placed right in the center there, and not too close to any big city, but close enough where you could get anywhere in a short drive. So it's kind of centrally located, which is nice.
Well, very good. And glad that you've been welcomed with open arms to the saints there at Messiah Lutheran Church in Sterling. Now, this time of year, we start getting all those decorations out, preparing for Christmas. Some might be putting up Christmas decorations. Some may already have some up. One of those decorations, perhaps on top of the tree or in other places, we see depictions of angels in our decorations. But even in other places as well, in TV and in film, we see this. And so you pose the question, does Hollywood get angels right in this month's issue of the Lutheran Witness? I can think back to some TV series and a lot of movies that have depicted angels. Are there any that really stand out for you? I know we'll get to It's a Wonderful Life here in a little bit. Are there other films or TV shows that have stood out for you that depict angels that have made you ask questions?
Angels in the Outfield was a movie that came out when I was in elementary school. And it's one of the first movies I saw in the movie theater. And, there was a time where there was a really popular genre of a movie where it was based on a really, really bad sports team that somehow, some way came together and found a way to become great and win a championship in whatever sport that happened to be. Of course, in Angels in the Outfield, the circumstances were a little different because it wasn't hard work and, a new teammate or anything like that caused this poor team to turn around. It was the fact that Christopher Lloyd brought down angels to answer the prayers of a young boy. And of course, all these shenanigans take place and in a bunch of very strange and unusual ways, the angels affect the outcome of all of these games. And it's a really fun movie, but it's also kind of heart-wrenching when I think back on the subject, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit this, but I do believe that was the first movie that ever made me physically cry, and I remember getting a hard time from my brothers because of that, because it was a very emotional roller coaster. But of course, it also had this really great interplay between the natural meeting the supernatural, and of course, that I think a lot of people are fascinated with movies that include angels because people are drawn to that kind of interaction because it's certainly not something that we're used to seeing in everyday life.
I remember, I guess it was back in the 90s or early 2000s, Touched by an Angel was a TV series where there was always, every episode, there was an angel who was doing some sort of basically charity work or social work, to, you know, making sure that someone's taken care of or that someone is, you know, getting what they need or learning a lesson or something like that along the way. And always wondering how close is this to what angels really are? What do the scriptures say about angels? And you posed that question this month in the Lutheran Witness. Does Hollywood get it right? Do they get angels right?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I think Touched by an Angel is a perfect example of this, and I'm glad you brought it up, is that a lot of people come into the idea where angels are kind of there to support us and help us out in difficult situations, for big things like tragedy that comes into our lives, and even things as small as, you know, helping your team win a ball game. But Scripture, while it certainly speaks to angels aiding humans in a lot of different and various ways, that's not really their primary purpose. The first and foremost, and they do a lot of things, but what we find in Scripture, the main thing that they are called to do, and the main thing, the main way in which they serve, is not to serve humans, but instead they serve God. And they serve God first and foremost by bringing his messages and his plan and delivering the good news of what he has done and will do to us. And so they're not really there to kind of help us in, you know, our certain life circumstances as much as they are to point us to what God is doing.
Hmm. So what about how angels are depicted in film, like in terms of their appearance and their abilities?
Sure. Well, in I think we all have in our minds the typical picture of what an angel looks like, right? I mean, we see it, of course, on top of the Christmas tree. We see it in our Christmas programs. It's the white robes and the halos and the shining light. And what we find in Scripture is that while certainly there are times where angels sort of have this kind of human look to them, in a lot of cases, they don't really look like humans at all. I mentioned in the article that in the book of Daniel, the angel is described with a face like lightning and eyes like torches and arms and legs that are like bronze. And you can imagine that'd be probably pretty hard to make a costume like that for your children's Christmas program. But it certainly does not fit the typical way in which we think of angels. And I mean, if you look at the appearances of angels in Scripture, you know, it's not as if like a butterfly comes and flies down and lands on your shoulder and you go, oh, well, that's beautiful. Look at that. That's really a wonderful thing. And you take a moment to appreciate it. It's actually kind of terrifying, which is why whether appearing to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist or Mary and Joseph to announce the birth of Jesus or the shepherds to deliver the same message, even the women at the tomb during Easter, the initial reaction to meeting an angel is actually to tremble with fear. And so when you read in Scripture, when angels appear, I think it's kind of telling that almost every time the first thing that they all say is, hey, don't be afraid. You don't have to be scared. I'm here to deliver a message and tell you the good news of what God is doing.
Right. That's pretty indicative of something that we don't experience every day. When an angel appears and says, do not be afraid, that begs the question, why would they be afraid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I were face to face with, let's say, the seraphim from Isaiah's vision, a six-winged angel that fills up the room and has this kind of almost terrifying description, where of course Isaiah is also afraid, I don't think my first reaction would be a peaceful kind of appreciation. It would be to be afraid for my life, and I think that's the reaction that the people that we encounter in Scripture have as well.
So your first reaction wouldn't be, oh, I should create a sculpture of this to make a Christmas ornament out of it, or a or depicted in a play or a movie.
Right, or a way to sell lots of gifts during Christmas time at the mall. No, probably none of those would be the first reaction when we encountered something as magnificent and powerful as an angel of the Lord.
Let's go back to then, what is the work of angels? We know that, as we see, nearly every time that they appear in Scripture, that they say, do not be afraid. What is their work? What is their mission? What are they given to do?
Sure. Well, as I've mentioned before, oftentimes they will bring God's message to us. So, of course, announcing the births, as I mentioned, showing up to tell the shepherds that they should go and meet the Savior and the King who has come to the earth, and appearing in all sorts of various ways to give good news. That's certainly one of the things that they do. But they also provide for the needs of people as well. In Scripture, of course, angels attend to Elijah when he's fleeing Jezebel, who wants to kill him. And he's pretty much given up, but an angel comes to him and he feeds him and encourages him. In Matthew, angels come to minister to Jesus after the battle with Satan in the desert while he was tempted. And of course, angels appear to open the prison doors in Acts for the apostles who were imprisoned. So they provide for our needs. They also encourage us and protect us from harm. And that's something that I guess is a little closer to some of the depictions of what angels do. We find in Acts that angels appear to Paul and they tell him that he and the crew of the ship that's sailing to Rome are going to be all right. And I mean, we even find in Luther's morning prayer at the very end, what do we say? We say, let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. So, of course, they do protect us, and we have this idea of angels guarding over us, and that might not be quite as far off as some of the other things that we believe about angels in movies and popular culture.
What are some other misconceptions about angels that are often depicted in movies and in the rest of pop culture?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you the one that I get the most. While I was on vicarage in Wentzville, Missouri, I was able to assist in a Bible study that we did on angels. And of course, the thing that I think was the hardest for people to kind of wrap their heads around, and it just shows how ingrained this is in our culture and even in our church, is that angels are not made of human creatures who have died and their earthly life has ended. And now they somehow get this, I don't know if you would call it a promotion to angel once they leave their earthly life. And even as we tried to show people places in Scripture where this is made abundantly clear that the goal for humanity and the goal of what Christ was trying to do when he came to earth, when he died and when he rose again, was not so that we could become angels one day. People came up and had a lot of concerns and a lot of questions because they had so long been taught and told and seen in various references and books and art and movies that their loved ones were watching them as angels and were doing the kind of things that angels do on TV, things like helping them win a sports game. And we certainly see athletes, there's no shortage of athletes who claim that their loved ones are helping them and supporting them in the same way that we see angels helping that team in that children's movie I saw so long ago.
Hmm. And we there's in other confessions we see this when this practice of praying to saints, in a sense that this concept that those loved ones are now in heaven, and so there's this kind of in between idea. You know, that they're not angels, but they're saints now in heaven, and that we pray to them and they help us out too.
That's right. And a lot of those things have found their way into our people's beliefs, and it kind of comes along with a lot of questions that people have about what does happen. And the thing that I appreciate about you know, what the Lutheran Witness is trying to do in this particular issue. You know, I don't think the goal is to break down people's ideas of, you know, where their loved ones are and what they're experiencing once their earthly life has ended. I think the point is to show them that what is truly taking place, and this is what Advent is all about, what we're truly waiting for, is so much better. The truth of what Christ is going to do on the last day is better to me in my mind than the idea of going to this interim state and staying there forever, and even becoming an angel. Because, you know, the loved ones that I miss, I miss them as they were. I miss them as the people that I knew and the people that I loved and the people that I spent time with. And the good news of what Jesus promises is, you know, the idea is restoration. The idea is new creation. The idea is resurrection and bodily resurrection. And so those people who have passed on, the saints who have gone before us, are now waiting just like us for Christ to return and to make all things new. And I think that's a hopeful message. I think that's a better message. And of course, we find the angels deferring all the time away from worshiping or bowing to them or thinking that the messenger is the message. Instead, they point us to the message. They point us to what Christ is doing. And of course, that's when an angel's really doing their job, is when they're pointing us to something greater.
So as you decorate for Christmas, are you going to have to alter some of those decorations?
You know, I don't think I'll get rid of all the angels. I certainly have an appreciation for the place that they play and certainly the birth narrative of Christ. So I don't want to draw too hard of a line. And of course, you know, we do appreciate the work that God's messengers do. And we do recognize that they do help us and they encourage us and they protect us. And of course, we'll help administer God's final judgment, and we'll help God by serving his purposes and bringing salvation to the people whom he loves. So you know what? I wouldn't tell you to put all your angels in the closet and never take them out again. like all gifts that we receive, they're serving a purpose, and that's to point us to Christ. So let's just make sure to keep the main thing in Christmas, the main thing.
So I don't have to go and add four more wings to all of the angel decorations.
Yeah, I've just been trying to think of the poor young elementary school student whose parents decide to try to make a seraphim angel out of their children's Christmas costume and the look they'll probably get. Yeah.
That might be quite difficult. Well, as we sit down and watch films, as we watch movies, as we, you know, as pop culture and mass media are around us all the time, especially as families with children, your advice on how we discuss this, you know, what's important to keep the forefront especially when watching films and TV shows with children that depict angels or messengers of God?
Right. Well, I think like all parents, there are times where you have to discern between things that are stories and things that are, you know, fall into the realm of fable and mythology, and the things that fall into the realm of truth. And while I certainly don't think we need to completely hide from all of the depictions of angels in movies and things like that, I think the best way that we can make sure that our children can discern what's something that's kind of a pop culture idea and versus what's something in scripture is to be sure that we're in the Word, and that, you know, there are lots of really great publications that come through that teach us about the truth of angels and what they do, and God's Word is pretty clear on what angels do, and as long as we're staying faithful and we're telling kids these stories, and we're making sure that they realize that these things aren't just a movie that is supposed to create this emotional reaction, much like the Angels in the Outfield movie created for me, but they're intended to change our lives. They're intended to change everything, because what Christ did and what the angels are announcing to us about what he did it does change everything. So, of course, you know, when we speak the truth and when we're telling people about what Scripture really says about angels, of course, you know, we're not there to break them down and to tell them all of this news about where they've been misled and how what they believe isn't true. We of course, speak the truth in love, and we try to be tactful, and we try to be caring. And, of course, like I said earlier, what we're offering them is something that I think is actually more hopeful. I think it's better news than the news that typical angels that we see in the movies would ever deliver to us.
All pointing to Christ, who is our Redeemer. Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor Neugebauer, for being my guest and for answering this question about angels. Does Hollywood get angels right? It's an article in the December 2016 Lutheran Witness. Check it out. Lots of great articles in there, particularly about Christmas and the seasons Advent, Christmas, and looking forward to Epiphany as well. Pastor Neugebauer is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Sterling, Illinois. Thank you for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you, Andy. It's been a pleasure.
Listening to Faith and Family, I'm Andy Bates. With me in studio today, Mary Schmidt, Manager of Development here at Worldwide KFUO. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Andy.
And Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance here at Worldwide KFUO, and our newest team member on the development team here at Worldwide KFUO. Good morning, Pastor Hawkinson.
Good morning, Andy. How are you this morning?
Good, good. Fun to have you all in studio with me today here on Faith and Family.
Yeah, and very much so.
Christmas right around the corner, all kinds of festivities, activities coming up, and it's that time of year also, and a lot of folks might be considering opportunities to give. That might be one of their traditions at this time of year. Do you have a favorite tradition this time of year? I'm sure there are lots of things happening around Advent and Christmas for your families. Do you have a favorite family or church tradition, something that really stands out for you?
Well, one of my family traditions is that my mother plays piano, I play French horn. So every year on Christmas Eve, we play for our church at quite a few of their services on the Christmas Eve. So our Christmas Eve is always spent at church, always playing
a marathon of music.
A marathon of music. That's a good way to describe it. So it's that we've done that every year, and we enjoy it very much.
And beautiful music, French horn, right? Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Beautiful music.
Well,
Pastor Hawkinson?
You know, I just purchased a hammer dulcimer. I wonder how that would fit
really?
With a French horn. I, you know, somehow or another, I just don't think that would probably sound too good. But
now,
just a thought.
Have you
know.
Played a hammer dulcimer before?
Actually, it's a mountain dulcimer. Let me correct that. It's a mountain
What's
dulcimer.
The difference?
I'm not sure. I'm just learning. You don't hammer a mountain dulcimer, okay? You pluck it like a guitar.
Okay.
Similar, but then you lay it on your lap mm-hmm. diagonally. And you use your left hand, and then you strum it with your right. And I'm just learning. I have to take lessons, so I'm going to start lessons in January and try to get some expertise in the area of mountain dulcimer. I grew up in the mountains, you know, sort
yeah.
of. And so, you know, it's very near and dear to my heart. And so I thought, well, maybe I could be able to play an instrument that would be reminiscent of mm-hmm. those years of I spent growing up in the mountains.
You grew up in the Smokies?
No, not in the Smokies, just in the hills of Kentucky. You look at it that way. Some of it was mountainous, you know. Hillbilly. My sister still lives there, and you know, when I talk with her on the phone, I have to ask her to translate because you know she has a certain dialect, the hillbilly dialect, and I cannot. I said, "Can you run that by me again?" You know. So.
I spent some time in the Ozarks over our Thanksgiving holiday, and I did hear a dulcimer. Got to stop
Isn't
and enjoy.
It, beautiful?
It is.
Yes.
My son Oscar and I got to stop and enjoy some beautiful music on a dulcimer, and it was fun. The neat thing about it is you can play just about anything on a dulcimer. At least the musician who was playing this, he could play just about anything. So
well, I'm working on Oh Susanna. Oh Susanna, you know that one. And I only got to O so far.
So
I don't haven't got to the Susanna part.
You like music? Any favorite traditions that
we have an Advent calendar, and we, you know, each day we take the window off, and then there's a gift that we give to each other in the family, and we take turns giving each other gifts, depending upon whose turn it is, as we open up the window in the Advent calendar as we prepare for the celebration of our Lord's birthday. So that is a tradition in our family.
So the gifts have to fit in this Advent calendar.
No, no.
Oh, okay.
Not exactly. I mean, that would be, you know, it's just Andy, it's just a little window that you raise up there.
Sometimes the smaller the gift, the higher the price.
No, these are little ornaments, you know, Christmas ornaments, this type of thing. And that's just little decorative things that you get at antique shops, you know, on Sunday afternoons when we go antiquing, so that we are able to, you know, get a whole slew of those types of things together in preparation for Advent.
Well, very fun. Advent is it's a nice season. It's also this preparation, a season of preparation for the nativity of our Lord, the return of our Lord. And it's often, as you pointed out, Mark, it's often filled with gifts. There are lots of gifts around this time of year. And we're here today to talk about some of the gifts that that our listeners, our partners have shared with us, and give thanks to God for their partnership and their gifts, and also to talk about opportunities to give, right?
Yes, this is a wonderful time of year to support the ministry of KFUO. Our mission is to spread the gospel of Jesus throughout the world, and this is a wonderful time to do it because this reminds us of when our Savior came so long ago, and also reminds us of that our Savior is going to come again, and we need people's help to continue to support that, to support the radio station so that we can continue to get that message out to as many people as possible, as soon as possible, because we never know when the Lord is coming back, and this is a great time to continue.
As we were recently studying the Word of God here on KFUO, Pastor Fisk was studying with one of our guests on the Daily Lectionary, studying the parable of the 10 virgins and talking about being ready. That's what Advent is about.
Keep your lamps burning.
Right. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning.
Right. Trimmed and burning. That's right.
Have you played that on Moments of Assurance before?
Oh, yes. The St. Olaf Lutheran Choir out of Northfield, Minnesota, I think. Northfield.
And how is it, Pastor, that we are ready? How is it that the Lord makes us ready?
We're ready by faith, and the faith is something He kindles within us in our baptism. And of course, as we read and study the Word of God, and as we attend worship and Holy Communion, our faith is kindled up, and it's the flame is made brighter and stronger every day. So we stay connected. The point is to stay connected with God. God has connected Himself with us in our baptism. Now, we want to be sure to stay connected with Him in everything we say and do. And I carry a Bible with me all the time. And because I don't want the devil, and here's the deal.
Look at that. He just literally pulled a Bible out of his pocket.
And because, and it's falling apart. I showed Mary that it was. It literally fell down to the ground. A bunch of pages. I have to figure out where it goes. But this is the put on the whole armor of God.
Sure, that's how
the armor of God.
That's how we are kept ready. That's how we are ready, is by going where He promises to be in His Word, by receiving His Word so joyfully. As you mentioned, the Word and sacraments, receiving the Lord's Supper, there He's promised to meet us, and that's how He keeps us ready, keeps that lamp trimmed and burning.
See,
and
you don't want to give the devil, not to interrupt you, but this thought came to me, you don't want to give the devil an Achilles heel. A point of weakness to slip in and get you off track from God. And this prevents that. This is the ammo, the ammunition from God that prevents the devil from coming in at your Achilles heel, your point of weakness.
And that very Word of God is what Worldwide KFUO is all about. That's what our programs are about, proclaiming that good news of Jesus so that our regular listeners may be kept ready in the Word with God's gifts of His Word, and that others who have not yet heard the gospel might hear that good news, might hear that Word of God, and too be made ready as the message of KFUO reaches around the world. So as listeners, as you support Worldwide KFUO, you help bring that good news of Jesus to people all around the world. Now, there are a number of ways to do that, right, Mary?
There are. There are many ways to give a gift. A lot of people send in a little check, or they go online and they can make a gift via credit card online, or they can contact us and make a gift over the phone. We have a lot of gifts ranging from little amounts to very big amounts. I mean, really, any gift is very welcome. Prayers are welcome. Support is welcome. And there are a lot of opportunities, day sponsorships, churches of the week, organizations of the week. If you'd like to give a different kind of gift through the will or through stocks or IRAs, there are many options that people can do for those as well. And so if they get in touch with us, we can help give their gift or help them give their gift in the way that they would like to help support the ministry.
That's well said. And just contact us, and then Mary can help you or I can help you. And, we establish a relationship that way with you. We appreciate you as a listener. And if KFU will mean something to you, and I know it does, or you wouldn't be tuned in, we would appreciate your assistance. We're just about ready to celebrate our 92nd birthday. That's coming up December 14th. I know it's not a milestone birthday like 90th was, but it's still another year of God's grace and blessing. We've never missed a day of broadcasting due to lack of funding.
Thanks be to God.
Yes.
Indeed.
That we are able to do so, to carry out this mission, this work that the Lord has given us, and that we get to do this every day, that we get to proclaim this good news of Jesus. Now, if your family has a tradition like Pastor Hawkinson here, where you have your family gives little gifts throughout the season of Advent with that Advent calendar, here's a fun idea. What if you open that window and there was a little note in there saying day sponsorship? Someone gave a day sponsorship in honor of you for Christmas.
Oh, that would be cool, wouldn't it?
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, indeed.
A little card or a note saying a day in your honor, supporting Worldwide KFUO in honor of you or for a special occasion.
And, Mary is in charge of all the day sponsorships, so you'd want to call her at 314-996-1518. But I've met a number of day sponsors here. We had a day sponsor luncheon about a little over a month ago. I got to meet a number of day sponsors there. They're just people that love KFUO and love the Lord. And they show it both ways. By listening to KFUO and also by loving the Lord through gifts and a day sponsorship, my goodness, I spend, if you talk about $40 a month, I spend that much just going around to gas stations and getting gum and Coke, it doesn't,
you're not... How much gum do you chew?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. But, I've got some right here. It's some Trident.
So if you've got a gum habit like Pastor Hawkinson, yes. This is a good year to break that gum habit and become a day sponsor.
No. Yeah, just avoid a sticky situation. Let me chew on it a while.
What's the email address to get in touch with our development team here if you have a question or want to find out more about giving?
Actually, if you have a question, you can send an email to gifts@kfuo.org, and it will come to either Mark or myself, and we'll be able to help you with whatever questions you have.
Gifts.
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 How easy is that?
That's pretty easy to remember.
Is that?
Yeah.
That's
pretty
fantastic.
Easy to remember. Mm-hmm. And then our beautiful giving tree here in studio, all illuminated. And what does this giving tree represent?
The giving tree is our KFUO Christmas tree set up in our Studio A. And it is there, and it's there so that we can help people remember the gifts that they've given. Basically, so for us, so that we can see all the people who do support KFUO. It's very encouraging to see that.
And it is.
People who give in memory of loved ones, people who give in honor of family or friends, really anyone who gives a gift this Christmas, they'll have their name go up on the Christmas tree.
I remember
and partner with us
helping decorate that last year, and simply how overwhelming that was as we put those those little ornaments on the tree that represent each of those families or individuals who partner with us. It was quite overwhelming to realize.
It was very encouraging. Yeah. Actually, we filled up almost every branch. We started running out of space.
Yeah, the tree was white with all those ornaments.
It was beautiful, too. Yeah. Everyone who came into the International Center said, wow, look at that tree. It's just full of little tags. And if they looked really closely, they could see tags of all the people who had supported KFUO during our Christmas time. And it's very encouraging.
It is. It's nice to know that there are so many others who share in this desire to proclaim the good news of Jesus, who partner with us to do that. Yeah. Well, we'll keep adding to the giving tree to show all those folks who have been partnering with us throughout this year, and hoping that maybe some new ones. If you're listening and you haven't partnered with us yet to here at Worldwide KFUO, there are opportunities to do that. Call Mary Schmidt or Pastor Hawkinson. We gave Mary's phone number. Pastor Hawkinson, what's your phone number?
That's 314-996-1520. Or you can email me at mark.hawkinson@kfuo.org. And that's H-A-W-K-I-N-S-O-N. And that'll get me. And I will pass on the information to Mary, and she'll take care of it. Day sponsorships are very reasonably priced, and it really helps us out.
Now, Pastor Hawkins, what have you been doing in your new duties here at Worldwide KFUO?
Putting books away, actually. we just moved offices, and we're just not 100% complete with that, but by this time tomorrow, we hope to be complete with it, and it's very exciting, I have a very nice work area. It's very nice, and I'm very pleased and honored to have such a nice work area, and Mary also is getting her work area redone, and it'll be very, very nice for her as well. So as far as what I do contacts with donors. I write notes to them on receipts, for example. That we've got some very nice gifts here lately this morning as I've looked through the receipts, and I attend special events here in the greater St. Louis area and beyond. And I do KFUO Sundays, where I go and make a presentation in Bible class and preach the sermon in various congregations. Anybody that would like a KFUO Sunday, please do contact me, 314-996-1520. I'd be glad to help you out. Already starting to have some dates in the spring.
Your calendar's going to fill up.
Oh, I don't know about that, but we're... that's my goal, anyway. I want a full,
we'll
full
keep
calendar.
You busy.
Yeah. I go a Sunday without preaching. See, now I wasn't used to preaching every Sunday. I was used to sitting in the congregation. Well, now that I've started this preaching every Sunday, it's hard to go back to sitting in the. Although the church where I'm a member is a wonderful. I belong to one of the most wonderful churches there, Emmanuel Lutheran in Washington, Missouri. It is absolutely wonderful. Pastor Mark Bangert, and he does a fantastic job. So I'm just honored to be a member of that church. And Deaconess Kelly, and we even have a comfort dog.
So good old Sheba out there.
Yeah, Sheba.
And Emmanuel.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, the giving tree is up. Opportunities to give all this year. Gifts at kfuo.org. Anything else as we wrap up our time here at studio today?
Just that we want to say thank you to everyone who has supported the station and who are listeners of our programming. Thank you for your help. You are truly a blessing from the Lord.
Very much so.
Thank you. Thank you both for coming in and sharing with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.